Chaitanya Charitamrita class. And today we are very fortunate to have with us Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji to enlighten on the topic of Antya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Hare Krishna Preeti Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining this session and giving your very valuable association this morning and enlightening on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela from 8.22 onwards, Mataji. I hand over the call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Shyama Supriya Mataji, thank you so much for the introduction, and thank you so much for chanting, and thanks to all the devotees for joining us and giving us a very valuable association today, and sorry for the delay. So we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is 8:22 onwards. I will screen share. जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela, Chapter 8, verse number 22 onwards. This chapter is about Ramachandrapuri criticizing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 8:22. Shuni Madhavindra Mane Krodha Upajila Dura Dura Papishta Bhali Bartsana Karila. Hearing this instruction, Madhavendrapuri, greatly angry, rebuked him, saying, "Get out, you sinful rascal." Ramachandrapuri could not understand that his spiritual master, Madhavendrapuri, was feeling transcendental separation. His lamentation was not material. Rather, it proceeded from a higher stage of ecstatic love of Krishna. When he was crying in separation, "I could not achieve Krishna, I could not reach Mathura," this was not ordinary material lamentation. Ramachandrapuri was not sufficiently expert to understand the feelings of Madhavendrapuri, but nevertheless, he thought himself very advanced. Therefore, regarding Madhavendrapuri's expressions as ordinary lamentation, he advised him to remember Brahman because he was latently an impersonalist. Madhavendrapuri understood Ramachandrapuri's position as a great fool and therefore immediately rebuked him. Such a reprimand from the spiritual master is certainly for the betterment of the disciple. 8:23. Krishna na painu na painu matura apana duke maronye dite aila jwala. Translation. "O my Lord Krishna, I could not reach you, nor could I reach your abode Mathura. I am dying in my unhappiness, and now this rascal has come to give me more pain." 24. "More dhukha na deka bhi, tu ye yao yati yati, tore dheki maile mora haave asadgati." "Don't show your face to me. Go anywhere else you like. If I die seeing your face, I shall not achieve the destination of my life." Krishna na paino moni maro apanara dhuke more brahma upadeshe ye charam murke. "I am dying without achieving the shelter of Krishna, and therefore I am greatly unhappy. Now this condemned foolish rascal has come to instruct me about Brahman." Ye Sri Madhavendra Sri Padupe Saka Karila Yeyaparade Inhar Vasana Janmila. Ramachandrapuri was thus denounced by Madhavendrapuri. Due to his offense, gradually material desire appeared within him. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada Ki Jai. The word vasana, material desires, refers to dry speculative knowledge. Such speculative knowledge is only material. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.4, which is prayers of Brahma, a person without devotional service who simply wants to know things, kevala bodha labhyate, gains only dry speculative knowledge but not spiritual profit. This is confirmed in the Bhakti Sandarbha 1.11, where it is said, Jivan mukta api punaryanti samsarvasanam yadya chintya maha shakta bhagavatya paradhina. Even though one is liberated in this life, if one offends the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he falls down in the midst of material desires, of which dry speculation about spiritual realization is one. In the Laghu Toshani commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 10-32, Jiva Goswami says, Jivan mukta apir punar bhandanam yanti karma bhi yadya chintya maha shakta bhagavatya paradhina. Even if one is liberated in this life, he becomes addicted to material desires because of offenses to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are also prayers from the Bhagavatam. I believe it is the Garbhastuti. Continuing, a similar quotation from the Puranas also appears in the Vishnu Bhakti Chandrodaya. Jivan mukta prapadyante kvachit samsar vasanam yogino na vilipyante karma bhir bhagavat para para. Even liberated souls sometimes fall down to material desires, but those who fully engage in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not affected by such desires. These are some references from authoritative revealed scriptures. If one becomes an offender to his spiritual master or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he falls down to the material platform to merely speculate. And the last verse for today, Chaitanya Charitamrita Antilila 8.27. Shuksha Brahma Jnani Nahi Krishnira Sambhanda Sarva Loka Ninda Kare Nindante Nirbanda. Note the word Nirbanda. One who is attached to dry speculative knowledge has no relationship with Krishna. His occupation is criticizing Vaishnavas. Thus, he is situated in criticism. But put by Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained in his Anubhashya that the word Nirbanda indicates that Ramachandrapuri had a steady desire to criticize others. Impersonalist Mayavadis who have no relationship with Krishna, who cannot take to devotional service and who simply engage in material arguments to understand Brahman, regard devotional service to Krishna as karma kanda or fruitive activities. According to them, devotional service to Krishna is but another means for attaining dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Therefore, they criticize the devotees for engaging in material activities. They think that devotional service is maya and that Krishna or Vishnu is also maya. Therefore, they are called mayavadis. Such a mentality awakens in a person who is an offender to Krishna and his devotees. So these are the interesting verses that we will be covering today. And definitely it's an interesting subject matter. There are a few things that is mentioned in the purport. One is about the unfortunate position of the Mayavadis. And also the main topic that is touched upon in this section is about criticism. So we'll start off with the prayers. And then we'll may have a quick recap of the storyline and then see what we can learn from this section. Om Ajnanat Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachanam Pangum Langayati Girim Yat Krupatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Namah Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimati Radhanath Swami Niti Namine. Namah Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini. Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayate Deshatarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyaiva cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna, all glories to Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, the wonderful author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So looking at a background of the story so far in this chapter is titled Ramachandra Puri Criticizes Lord Chaitanya. So a sannyasi by the name Ramachandra Puri once came to see Paramananda Puri and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri Kshetra. And Ramachandra Puri, he came in front of Paramananda Puri and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, both Paramananda Puri and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they offered their obeisances and Ramachandra Puri embraced them. So when Ramachandra Puri embraced Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, automatically he remembered Krishna because he was touching Krishna himself. And then all the three of them, they were talking about some nice Krishna katha. And then since a sannyasi was visiting that region, Jagdananda Pandit, who is one of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came forward and he extended a good invitation to Ramachandra Puri to accept prasadam because he was visiting this area. Now, this Ramachandra Puri, he accepted the invitation and he came forward to have prasadam. And a large quantity of the remnants of food of Lord Jagannath was brought in front for distribution. And what happened was Ramachandra Puri was first fed very nicely. He ate very nicely to his heart's content. He ate very sumptuously. And then what he did was he wanted to offer prasadam to Jagdananda Pandit also. So he invited Jagdananda Pandit to now come and take prasadam after him. And what he did was, he with his own hands, he began to serve Jagdananda Pandit and he kept telling Jagdananda Pandit to eat more and more. He encouraged Jagdananda Pandit to eat more and more. Just like how when we serve prasadam to our loved ones, it's not like we stop with one portion. We try to offer them more and more prasadam and we encourage them to eat nicely. But that is done out of love. But here, this Ramachandra Puri was intentionally making Jagdananda Pandit to eat more and more because he had a different idea within his mind. So after Jagdananda Pandit finished eating and he washed his hands, at that time, this Ramachandra Puri, he began criticizing Jagdananda Pandit. He said, I have heard that the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat more than necessary. And now I have seen that directly and I've understood that it is true. The second statement he made is, he said, feeding a sannyasi too much breaks his regulative principles. For when a sannyasi eats too much, his renunciation is destroyed. So you see two statements made by Ramachandra Puri. What are the two statements? First thing is that he criticizes the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which means he's also indirectly criticizing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, first is devotees and then the Lord himself, because he's indicating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers eat too much, okay? Eat more than necessary. Second thing, he's also talking about the rules of a sannyasi, that is what a sannyasi is expected to do. So he says, if a sannyasi eats too much, he's bound to break his regulative principles and his renunciation is destroyed. So this also reveals that Ramachandra Puri had a feeling that he was a great sannyasi, he was a great renunciant and he's very perfect, while the others are flawed, especially the Lord's devotees, and indirectly he's also criticizing the Lord. So this was the psychology of Ramachandra Puri. He definitely exhibited some sort of a hate and envy towards devotee, and he also exhibited his latent envy towards the Lord because he said the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat too much. Now, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, in this section that we read today, he clarifies that this is not a new habit of Ramachandra Puri. It has been there for quite some time. This attitude of criticism has been in Ramachandra Puri for some time. And when was the first time that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami records it? He records it in these verses and he says that previously when Madhavendra Puri was in his last stage of life, at that time, Ramachandra Puri went there to visit him, to see him where he was staying. At that time, Madhavendra Puri, who was the spiritual master of this Ramachandra Puri, He was actually in his, he was really bedridden. And at that time, out of love for Krishna, this Madhavendra Puri, who was an exalted devotee, was shouting out Krishna's names. So sometimes he would cry, "Oh my Lord, I have not gotten shelter in Mathura and I'm stuck here and I'm suffering. When will I see you?" So like that, he would cry out to Krishna, who Madhavendra Puri, who is the spiritual master of Ramachandra Puri. Now Ramachandra Puri has gone there and he is visualizing this. So Ramachandra Puri, at that time also, he was so foolish that he fearlessly tried to instruct his own spiritual master. What was happening with his spiritual master? His spiritual master was feeling transcendental bliss and he was feeling separation of Krishna. At that time, Ramachandra Puri, he goes to his spiritual master and he tells him that this is not the time that you should be talking about Krishna or Mathura. Rather, you should be remembering the Brahman. "Why are you crying?" he was asking his spiritual master. Now, this Ramachandra Puri obviously was a Mayavad. He had the elements of Mayavad or the understanding of Mayavad. And that is why he did not understand the science of devotion. When one understands the science of devotion, one can understand when a person has developed the highest level of ecstatic loving devotion and when he's crying out in separation from Krishna. Until we understand what devotion is, we cannot identify another person who's experiencing that devotion. So at this point, Ramachandra Puri, who was a Mayavadi, did not understand these high levels of ecstatic feelings of separation from Krishna. He didn't understand what his spiritual master was going through and he began to criticize his own spiritual master, telling him that instead of thinking of Krishna, you should be thinking of the Brahman. This is the time for you to be steady and think about Brahman. So this was the piece of advice that he gave to his spiritual master. Now Madhavendra Puri, when he heard this from his disciple, he got very irritated, he got very angry and he rebuked him. Told him, "First you get out of this place, you sinful rascal, and already I'm not able to reach Krishna, and then you're coming here and you're talking about Brahman." So he was very, very unhappy with what his disciple had done. And he asked him to leave that place immediately. He told him, "Don't show your face anymore to me and get out of here." And interestingly, he says another thing, that if I die seeing your face, I will not achieve the destination of my life. He says that. So this is very important, because a person, when he's about to leave, a devotee would definitely want to think about Krishna and have devotees around him who are chanting and speaking about Krishna. They definitely wouldn't want a blasphemer in front of them, because obviously if you have too many negative people around you, that negativity rubs onto you and you cannot clearly think about Krishna. So Madhavendra Puri was telling, as it is, I'm not in Mathura. As it is, I'm feeling separation from Krishna. And here you are talking about Brahman. So you please vacate this place first and let me be in peace. And let me think about Krishna. So like this, Ramachandra Puri, he was denounced or he was given up by his own spiritual master. And because of this offense that he made to a spiritual master, especially the offense made to one spiritual master, was taken very seriously. What was the offense? He was thinking himself to be much more advanced and much more learned than his own spiritual master, because he had the audacity to go and instruct a spiritual master on what he should be thinking on during his last moments. So because of this offense, he received a very severe punishment. And what does Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami talk about severe punishment? He didn't talk about some illness or immediate death or anything like that. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said that the severe punishment that this Ramachandra Puri attained was that gradual material desire appeared within him. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami, he clarifies what this vasana or material desire is that appeared in the heart of Ramachandra Puri. It was nothing but dry speculative knowledge. This dry speculative knowledge is only material, he says. He says, one who's attached to dry speculative knowledge, why is it such a great punishment? If you're so attached to dry speculative knowledge, because you lose your relationship with Krishna. One who develops this dry speculative knowledge, has no relationship with Krishna, and he begins to consider devotional service to be just like some other karmakanda activity. He thinks Krishna and bhakti, devotional service, to be some sort of maya. And he loses his relationship with Krishna, and that is actually the greatest punishment that one can get. The greatest punishment that one can receive is when he has lost taste for devotional service, or when he loses his attachment to Krishna or his relationship to Krishna. So that is the worst nightmare that one can have. Okay? When Krishna says, I protect you, Krishna may not specifically protect one's body. Krishna may not specifically protect one's conditions, physical conditions, or his opulence, or anything like that. He will protect that person's devotion. That is the greatest protection that Krishna can offer. If we are losing taste for devotional service, then we have to be seriously very, very worried about it. So here you see Ramachandra Puri, he had lost his taste or relationship with Krishna, and that had become the greatest punishment, and his occupation itself became criticizing Vaishnavas. So the verse says, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, because of this offense, because of losing taste for Krishna consciousness, he became situated in criticism. That means continuously criticizing. It became a habit, and he began to criticize everyone. Especially he was criticizing Vaishnavas. And eventually in this chapter, we'll see how he criticized Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Now, what do we understand from this section? Of course, yes, there was a lot of discussion about Mayavad and how the philosophy of Mayavad makes one's heart very dry and one cannot develop taste for Krishna. One thing that we should be really thankful is that we are in the right path. We have, by Krishna's mercy and by our Guru Varga's mercy, we have taken to this path of Krishna consciousness, and that is the greatest gift any human being can receive. That is the greatest gift, because you understand what life is about, and you know that developing relationship with Krishna is actually the main goal of life, and you can be situated in that. And the process is also very happy. Krishna consciousness is a very, very happy, blissful process. It is not a tiresome or a cumbersome process. We all know chanting, eating, chanting, dancing, you know, that is the core of Krishna consciousness. It can be done very nicely. But definitely there are many impediments in the path that can drag us down, like what happened with Ramachandra Puri. So one such problem is criticism or fault finding. And as practicing devotees, for us, we might not be situated in great Mayavad, the philosophical discussion or something, but still, as simple practicing devotees with all the the mental makeup that we have, the relationships around us, the environment around us, and the way we associate with other people, we can have this great fault of criticism and fault finding. Now, this criticism and fault finding attitude in us, in each one of us, can appear either in bouts, which means now and then, sporadically, now and then, or it can also be within us as a constant habit, like Ramachandra Puri. Because after all, we are not pure devotees, and we get easily influenced by many things. So if we have this fault-finding nature or criticizing mentality, then how do we prevent further offenses to Vaishnavas? So that is what we will be discussing for some time now, for about 5-10, at least 10 minutes from now. We'll just be looking at that particular aspect. And definitely this, it might sound a little preachy, but it is definitely trying to correct myself first. And these have been quite helpful for me for self-development, and that is all I'm trying to share. Not that I want to point out that someone is finding fault or someone is criticizing. First thing, it applies to me, and then if someone can also be benefited by this, that will be great. So as we all know, we are living in this age of Kali Yuga, and Kali Yuga is naturally full of faults and quarrels and miseries and anxiety. And the tendency that we develop is that even if there are some small mistakes from our side, we try to blame others for it. So that is a tendency that every person in Kali Yuga has. We are full of faults, but we try to blame others for whatever we are undergoing. So we may be undergoing an unfortunate situation or a misfortune, but we never like to blame ourselves. We like to find the faults with others. We find fault in all sorts of relationship between friends, family, devotees. And this itself, this fault-finding mentality and this criticizing mentality itself becomes the cause of our permanent downfall from Krishna consciousness. That becomes actually one of the main causes why a person might lose taste in any sort of devotional service like Shravanam or Kirtanam. The more faults we find in others, the more degraded our consciousness becomes. Actually, by fault finding, it is not that we are trying to put down the other person. It is our own consciousness that is getting degraded. So this fault finding tendency is a sort of a sense gratification for the ego. We are trying to gratify our own ego. And it's a garb, you know, of gratifying our own ego that we actually find faults in others, and it begins to destroy all our good qualities. But however, if we appreciate the good quality of a person,
do you have one a second, pencil?
They just. Okay, so as I was mentioning, this fault finding is a kind of a sense gratification, and it is just to pacify our ego. But however, if we appreciate the good quality in a person, we happen to get some of their good qualities. And if we find faults in another person, we automatically imbibe that in our character subconsciously. So it is said that one who finds faults in others is actually full of faults. So because we have this so many faults in us, we try to see that fault in the other person. So this is the psychology of fault finding. And there is a very interesting story in this regard, just to take our mind off too much heavy advice. I'm just telling you an interesting story for us to understand how this fault finding can be so detrimental. And this story has no Shastric reference or something. It is more of a value story that is being circulated in many places. So once there was a king, and he was distributing food to some Brahmanas who had come there. And while distributing food, it so happened that an eagle was flying in the sky, and that eagle was carrying a snake in his claws. He was carrying an almost dead snake, like he had caught a prey, and he was carrying that and he was flying. So while he was flying like that, carrying that snake, a drop of poison dripped out of the snake. And that poison fell onto the food that this king was actually distributing to the Brahmana. So while this Brahmana was receiving that food, that drop of poison fell into that food, and nobody knew that the poison had actually fallen. Neither the king knew it, nor the Brahmana knew it, and the Brahmana ate it, and he died because of the poisonous food. So the Brahmana story was over. Now the case went to Yamaraj. And Yamaraj's assistant, Chitragupta, he was trying to assess the case, trying to see who should be held responsible for the Brahmana's death and who the karma should get transferred to. So he was analyzing, and he found out that the eagle cannot be blamed because the snake is a natural food for the eagle. Can the snake be blamed? No, because the snake naturally has poison, and by chance the poison dripped out in his precarious condition. And can the king be blamed? No, because the king had no idea that poison had fallen in the food. And if the king had known that there was a drop of poison in the food, obviously he wouldn't have given it to the Brahmana. And was it the Brahmana's fault to have eaten poison food? No, not him either, because he had no clue of what had happened, and he was hungry, and he ate the charity that was given by the king. So now you see that none of them could be really held responsible. By the will of providence, the Brahmana died. It was a very complicated case, and it was untouched for many days by Chitragupta and Yamaraj. But then after some days, what happened was near the king's palace, There were a group of Brahmanas who were loitering, and they went and they wanted to go and meet the king and accept some charity from the king. So when they went to the palace gates, they went and they asked a woman who was sitting in the entrance about the way to the chief palace where they could go and meet the king and ask for some charity. So at that time, the woman sitting at the palace gates, she told these Brahmanas, "I'll tell you the way to go to the king's palace, but then keep in mind, don't accept any food from this wretched king, because he's known to be mixing poison in the food that he gives to Brahmanas, and he's a big Brahmana killer." So actually, this lady had absolutely no idea of what had happened to that Brahmana, how the poison went in and how he died. However, she was accustomed to fault finding, criticizing, assuming that something had happened. This is the problem with most people. When we find fault with others or when we criticize someone, we just assume, okay, this is what they must have done and that is why they are doing this. So it's only an assumption. You don't even know what is going on in that person's mind. Right. So based on assumption and deduction of her own mental speculation, she just said that he's known to be mixing poison in the food that he gives to Brahmanas and he kills Brahmanas. So be careful. Don't accept any food from him. Just accept anything else, maybe some gold or some land. Don't accept food from him. So when this happened, Chitragupta, who was Yamaraj's assistant, he immediately made a note and he confirmed that all this karma should be transferred to this woman who was simply accusing and gossiping. So this story is just to show us that when we find faults in others or go on criticizing others, actually we get a portion of that karma. And if, especially if we find fault in someone or criticize them without even knowing what happened, okay, based on assumption, our own speculation, we just come up with a concept and then we criticize them, then we accept a great portion of that sinful reaction. It contaminates our mind. How do we accept a great portion of the karma? It's simple, simple logic. You just contaminate your mind. You get depressed because, you know, when you fill your mind with so much negativity and so much criticism, actually you're the one who's suffering. Radhanath Maharaj, he often gives this quote. It's like drinking poison, you drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. You know, you're constantly thinking, let him die, let him die, let him die. But actually, who has drunk the poison? You have drunk the poison. Your mind is contaminated. And you're thinking that the other person should die. This is what happens with fault finding or gossiping. So, and then further, how we accumulate more and more negativity is that we get accustomed to that habit. Because it gives a, you know, at that moment you feel good and you get accustomed to that habit and ultimately it brings a great fall down to us. And this is exactly what happened with Ramachandra Puri. At that point in time, he was feeling good, but actually it was bringing down a great, it was bringing about a great fall down in him. So where does this fault finding really come from? Fault finding in one sense is a universal habit. No matter who we are, where we live or what our circumstances may be, we have this inherent nature in various ways. Some people have it in a very subtle way. Some people have it in a gross way. And some people have it in bouts and some people do it all the time. And since childhood, we have always been taught this, don't point your fingers at others because three fingers point back at you, right? This is what we have been taught. And but still, somehow the problem persists. Why does it persist? It persists because it gives our ego a temporary boost and it gives us an illusion of superiority at the moment, you know, thinking that we are better. That's why we do fault finding, because you get an ego boost that I am better. This person is so fallen. He's full of mistakes. But then we should remember that that, you know, temporary ego boost or that feeling good for that few seconds, finding the fault in others, it doesn't last long. It will crash your mood a few minutes later. A few minutes later, you are the person who has really drunk the poison, right? So a few minutes later, it completely crashes your mood. And there is a very beautiful saying that says, strong minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, and weak minds discuss people. So if you're constantly discussing people, then we're really, really weak. So this fault finding, as I mentioned, it gives a subtle lift to our self-esteem. and just because we're diminishing the value of someone else. But however, this is a very, a very shortcut method to gain self-confidence. It seems to be an easy way just to give. If you want an ego boost, you should be doing it the hard way, not a shortcut way like this, putting down others and trying to feel better. Because in the you think you're feeling better, but very soon the psychological lift that you're getting doesn't last long. And also the other problem is that it will prevent us from looking within ourselves or self-introspection. That becomes a problem. If we continuously keep having this fault-finding tendency, you'll just keep looking at others and you'll fail to look within yourself. You might just think that I'm so perfect all the time. I'm so perfect. I am this, I am that. But the rest, the other people, they are all full of faults. And in this process, when you keep doing this, actually you're not looking within yourself and you're not able to correct yourself, or you're not able to improve yourself, because we should understand that no one in this world is perfect. No one is so perfect, to think that I'm great and the other person is useless. So this attitude, it actually opens door for complacency, meaning you're thinking that you're great and you're not looking within yourself. You're not trying to correct yourself. And what you do is you try to find more people who can find the same fault in that person, and this results in gossip. But you wouldn't want to associate with people who genuinely appreciate the work of others. So this is another thing, it's all like a chain reaction. You're not ready to correct yourself, and the people you want to associate with is the people who are also going to find fault in others, because that gives you satisfaction. If someone comes and tells you, no, that person is so nice, he's got wonderful things to appreciate, you cannot accept it. So these are some chain reactions of fault finding. And it's better, to work on it, because until we work on it, we are not going to improve. And definitely introspection is important. So now coming to the method of overcoming this habit of fault finding, what are some methods that we can help ourselves? We need to introspect, we understood that. But what else is possible to prevent it at the scratch itself, prevent fault finding in the beginning itself? Just let me mute. Okay. Yeah. So one solution is to stop verbalizing whatever you think. Okay, we have this dirty mind. We have a repository of nonsense in our mind. It is not necessary to verbalize everything that crosses your mind. First thing, this is a very bad habit. People think that whatever comes into their mind, they have to speak it out. It is not needed at all. There is no need to verbalize each and every thought that you have. It is very important to create a filter and speak out only those that are necessary, only that which is necessary and that which is useful for others. That is what we should speak. Until we have something nice to say, it's better to keep that to ourselves. We don't, our mind is full of dirty, muddy water. You don't have to splash it on everyone through your mouth. It is absolutely not needed. It is better to shut up and keep quiet. That's the first thing that one must do. And the second thing is not get too worried about the limitations of others, because it is none of our business. And we can improve on our personal stuff. And that's what Dr. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, because I am honeycombed with so many faults, I have this habit of seeing faults in others. So not that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is honeycombed with faults. He's trying to instruct us. He's just giving us a hint why we are seeing faults in others. The reason is because the fault is within ourselves. Our mind is filled with that muddy water, and that's why we are trying to splash it on others and tell that person has a fault. So it's actually the mind that is the creator of both happiness and suffering. And it becomes important for us to examine our mind and control what happens in it. Sometimes it is not easy to control what all thoughts you're having, but at least we should stop verbalizing it. Because the more we verbalize it, the more we are engaging in a further fault finding, like Ramachandra Puri. You just go on, it becomes a habit, and then you find a group of people who can help you develop that habit. And then you start gossiping, and then you become like that woman who's actually accumulating more and more karma. So training our mind, analyzing our mind, self-introspection, all these help, observing our thoughts Like this, if we can help ourselves, we can tame our mind. But the first thing to stop is to stop verbalizing things and accusing others or hurting others. That is extremely important. So in this, context, there is another little story that is being told about an artist. So there was an artist and he wanted to assess his skills. He was a new artist and he was a budding artist. He was very, very good at his work. He was a very good painter. But however, he wanted to assess how far he has gone in his painting career. So he had a very good teacher and he started painting beautiful pictures. And one day, because he wanted to get opinion of everyone, what he did was he put his best painting, the most beautiful scenery that he had painted, in a busy street, okay, in a busy street where a lot of people were crossing. And then below that painting, he put a message saying that, I'm very new to this profession, and if I have committed any mistakes while painting, please put a cross wherever you see a mistake. So this is what he put as a message below. And he left that painting in the middle of the road for a few hours. And then after a few hours, he went back to check on his painting to see if there were any cross marks on his painting. So after a few hours, when he came back, he saw that his entire painting was filled with cross marks by thousands of people. He was very broken because he thought that was the best piece that he could offer. And there were so many mistakes in it. So, being very brokenhearted, he went to his teacher and he told his teacher about how so many people had rejected him and found so many faults in his painting. At that time, the teacher, who was very, very wise, he consoled him and he told him, actually, instead of putting a message like that, do one thing. Write this message saying that I might have committed many mistakes, but I have also kept a box with colored brushes. If you find any mistakes, just do me a favor, pick up a brush and make the correction for that painting. Put this message and take another beautiful scenery that you have painted. Put this message, keep a box of brushes and paint, and go and keep it in the middle of the road again. So when the painter did this, he got another beautiful painting and he wrote a message. I'm not a perfect painter, but if you can help me correct and make suitable corrections and make it look more beautiful, then you do it. You know, he put such a message and he went and he kept it in the middle of the street. So when he did that and left it for a few hours and he came back, he saw that not a single person had messed with the painting or made any corrections or made anything or no crosses, nothing. So the point here is that it is very easy for us to find faults, talk about others, accuse others, but it is not at all easy for us to help others improve. It requires no effort to find fault in others. Fault finding is a habit. The more we give into it, the more obsessed we become with it. And it is very important for us to seek the positive side in someone else. And unless we are able to correct someone very nicely for the benefit of that person, it is better not even to talk about the faults. And who is the person who can really make this correction? The person who can really make this correction is one spiritual master. And that is what actually happened in the case of Ramachandra Puri. It was Madhavendra Puri who actually chastised him. It was Madhavendra Puri who was chastising him and making the correction. Don't talk to me like that. You have not understood anything. It was Madhavendra Puri, but still, this Ramachandra Puri did not have the right sense to make it out that his spiritual master was chastising him for a reason. His ego was too strong to understand that. So there are other things that one can employ to kind of correct oneself. Awareness of what we are doing and try to engage in a higher taste, that really helps a person to correct oneself and take out this fault-finding propensity. See, that is the reason why in Krishna consciousness, we have this philosophy where we have to engage in a higher taste. This is something that is very basic that is taught to us. if you really want to give up smaller things in life, if you really want to give up negativity, you need to fill your heart with positivity. You need to appreciate something that is much higher. When you appreciate something that is much higher, smaller, insignificant things would mean foolish to us. So another way of understanding this is to just pause for a moment. And before we criticize someone, we can just think, imagine what it would be like if God judged me the same way that I am judging others. What hope do I have? If you stop for a moment and think like this, it would make, it would just stop us from finding fault with anyone else. Because we are not perfect. I mean, we should accept it. And for a minute, if you think, the same fault that I am finding in another devotee, if Krishna is finding in me, then what hope do I have? So this is one method of training the mind. You can always think like this and automatically you would stop, because we know in the heart of our hearts that we are not perfect. This is one method that is being taught to us, to engage in something higher and always think that we are very fallen, and if Krishna rejects us, we have no hope. And of course, the universal method that is given in our Krishna consciousness movement is to chant the holy names. And that's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us to chant. And he tells us while chanting what mood we should have. We should have the mood of Trinadapi Suni Chena, Taroriva Sahishnuna, Ammanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So one who thinks himself lower than a blade of grass, who's more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect honor, but is always ready to give respect and honor to others, such a person can easily chant the holy name of the Lord. So this mood is extremely important, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this mood. So a devotee, Raghunath Maharaj, he often gives this example that a devotee is like a honeybee, and an unfortunate person whose fault finding is like a fly. A honeybee, even if he's in the middle of a garbage dump where there is a lot of garbage and waste, he's simply looking at a flower that could be there amidst the garbage. Even if there is one little flower in the ocean of garbage and sewage, that particular honeybee will go exactly to that flower and he will suck out the honey from that flower. But however, a fly, if he is there in an ocean of garbage, if he's there even in a garden where there are a lot of flowers and there is a little piece of garbage, that fly would only go to that garbage to eat the juice out of that garbage. So, one second, I have to... Yeah. So that was the analogy of the honeybee and the fly. The fly would always go and suckle on the garbage, while the honeybee, even in the midst of garbage, would always go and look for a flower. So devotees should learn to be like the honeybee who is always looking for nectar, and not like the fly who is always feeding on the garbage. And the other thing that we learn from our Krishna consciousness, from Bhagavad Gita, is that there is a very famous verse, Apichetsu Duracharo. This verse is very famous because it teaches us that there is no point finding faults in a devotee. So if you see the moon, there could be many black spots, but still the moon looks very beautiful when you look at it in the sky. Similarly, even if a devotee has many, many faults, it is important for us to overlook those faults, because we should understand that that person has surrendered to Krishna and engaged his service in Krishna. So Bhagavad Gita has very nicely confirmed this. Even if a person, a devotee, has committed a very, very serious offense, because he's engaged in the service of the Lord, these offenses should not be taken seriously. This is Bhagavad Gita 9:30. So you see, our scriptures are filled with these values that will help us improve, that will definitely help us come out of this fault-finding mentality. Now, talking about who is going to correct us if we have these faults, because we're talking about not finding faults in others, we should not criticize others. That was the main thing that we were looking at all this while. But if we have a lot of faults, we definitely need correction, right? So who's the one who's going to correct us? And as I mentioned, it was exhibited by Madhavendra Puri himself. He being the spiritual master of Ramachandra Puri, he chastised him and he tried to correct him. But however, Ramachandra Puri was very, very unfortunate. He was very unfortunate because he had the strong ego that would not let him accept his faults and let him accept the chastisement of a spiritual master. And moreover, he was overcome not just by ego, he was also overcome by the Mayavad understanding that prevented him from appreciating Vaishnavas. So if one's heart has become extremely hard by the philosophy of speculation, by speculating and having this idea of, everything is, dry speculation definitely makes one's heart hard. So that is what happened with Ramachandra Puri. And he had no appreciation for Vaishnavas, and he did not even have the moment to actually listen to his spiritual master. So there's one more story that I wanted to tell about a person who was a contrast to how Ramachandra Puri reacted. So when a spiritual master chastises us or corrects us, it should immediately be understood by us that it is for our betterment. We should not walk out like Ramachandra Puri. We should rather be grateful to our spiritual master who has taken the moment to correct us. Why is the spiritual master correcting us? The spiritual master is correcting us not because he wants to find fault with us. Rather, he wants to correct us and he wants to make sure that we do not repeat it again and make sure that we do not have a fall down. Because the spiritual master is always looking for our betterment. So there is a story of a person, and this is again from the life of Sripad Ramanujacharya. There is a story from a devotee who actually was very grateful to his spiritual master. And this is the story of a devotee by the name Pranakarthi Hara. He's also known as Kidambi Archan. When Sripad Ramanujacharya was in this world, he had a cousin who was also his disciple. And this cousin of his, he was a personal cook of Sripad Ramanujacharya. He was also initiated by Sripad Ramanujacharya. And not only was he a personal cook, but whenever devotees had come to honor Prasadam, he was the person who would be standing to serve the devotees. So from time to time in the Srirangam area where Sripad Ramanujacharya was serving, there would be a lot of devotees who would be invited to honor Prasadam. So all the Vaishnavas in that region, they would be asked to come at a particular time during lunch to come and take Prasadam of the deities. And all the devotees would sit down in rows, like you must have seen in the temples. In our own temples during Sunday feasts, you have a group of devotees sitting in rows. There's one row facing each other. First, you have two rows facing each other. And then the second row of devotees, their back is turned to the other devotees' back. And then there is a second row. So you might have seen these in traditional settings where people sit down and honor Prasadam. So in those days also, from time to time, during lunchtime, lots of devotees would come and they would sit down to have prasadam. And the prasadam from the Srirangam temple would be served. And Sripad Ramanujacharya would oversee these preparations of prasadam and as well as the distribution of prasadam. So this particular devotee, who was the personal cook of Sripad Ramanujacharya, was also in charge of being the person who would provide water to all these devotees who were sitting and honoring Prasadam. And he would have a large clay pot which had a long spout, okay, just to put water out. And in those days, they would not keep separate water cups for everyone because it was just not possible. Just simple leaf plates for devotees. And for water, the setup was they would have a jug with a long spout and that would be directly poured into the devotee's mouth. Like this, they would just pour it. Like you have seen, in villages, they have these clay pot. And then if someone is asking for water, you would tilt that pot and then pour it through your hand, right? So like that, there would be a clay pot with a large spout. And if someone wanted water, they would just offer the water like that to the person who's thirsty. So lots of devotees were sitting that day afternoon to honor Prasadam, and this person, this devotee, was holding that pot and waiting and looking around if any devotee wanted water while honoring Prasadam. So at that time, there was one devotee who wanted some water because he was feeling very thirsty, and he called out for this devotee to give him some water. So as I was mentioning, devotees are seated in a row, one row is facing each other, then the next set, they have their back to the previous row, and then again, the fourth row is facing the person in the third row, right? This is how devotees sit. So this Pranathartihara, who was the person who was holding the pot, there was a person from the back who asked him for water, okay? So he was probably a little towards the side of Pranathartihara. And when he asked for water, because Pranathartihara had to walk all the way till the end of the line, turn around, and then come and serve water to this person, he thought it would be easy to just pour the jug sideways so that this devotee gets water. So he asked the devotee to turn around like this, and he wanted to pour the water into his mouth. So while he told the devotee to slightly tilt his neck and he wanted to pour the water in his mouth, Shripad Ramanujacharya, he observed what Pranathartihara was doing, and he was very, very upset. He just went running to him and gave him one pat at the back, and he chastised him in front of thousands of Vaishnavas. Said, how can you do this? How can you pour water sideways and ask a devotee who is honoring Prasadam to tilt his neck like that? Won't a devotee's neck pain? What is your duty? Your duty here is to serve water. So you'd rather go all the way, go to the end of the line, take a U-turn, come and serve water to a Vaishnava. How can you cause inconvenience to a Vaishnava? So he gave him one slap at the back, and he chastised him. Udo, stop it. Just stop it. Don't do it again. And once this was done, Pranathartihara was so shocked, he went to a corner and he started crying. Okay, he was weeping like anything. And there were many devotees in Srirangam at that time who were very envious of Shripad Ramanujacharya, who did not like him rising to the position of a great sannyasi and a leader. So what they did was, they went to Pranathartihara and they told him, look, this is what we have been telling you for so long. We have told you again and again, your choice of spiritual master is very wrong. This Ramanujacharya is always like this. He always finds faults. He always criticizes. You are a full-time cook of him. You're serving Vaishnavas in the hot sun, and still he finds faults in you. This is his nature. So there were a lot of people who went and who kind of provoked Pranathartihara like this. So at that time, Pranathartihara, he just looked at them and he said, I'm not crying and weeping because I was chastised by my spiritual master. I'm crying thinking how fortunate I am. How fortunate I am to have such a spiritual master who can correct me when I'm going wrong. When a person is going wrong, if the spiritual master is not able to correct him and bring him to the right path and prevent further fall down, then what is the use of me being a disciple? So like this, he gave an answer, and he was expressing his gratefulness to his spiritual master who could correct him. Now, this is the right mood of a devotee, of a disciple, to receive chastisement, to receive corrections from one's spiritual authority in the right mood. So when one is able to receive chastisement and corrections from his spiritual master in the right mood, he is able to advance further. He is able to prevent himself from falling down further. Now in Ramachandrapuri's case, unfortunately, we see that the fall down was very, very heavy, where he went around, he became situated in criticism, as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati writes. He became situated in criticism. It became his habit. He had lost taste for love for Krishna. He had lost complete taste. He was rejected by his spiritual master. And he went to the extent of offending Jagdananda Pandit, who was a very close associate of Lord Chaitanya. And eventually, in the future parts of this chapter, we will also see how he finds faults with the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is what we have seen in this section. And if there are any corrections or any additions or any questions, please go ahead. And sorry if there were a lot of distraction. So any questions, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Jai, Hari Bol, such a beautiful class, extremely wonderful class, extremely wonderful, especially when you beautify your class with the wonderful pastimes, wonderful stories that adds to it. So many stories you shared which were apt to the topic, and it was really, really, really a wonderful class. And especially I like the point, because I've seen in most of the classes, you know, normally the problems is discussed, but today you clarified that yes, the problem is there, but then how to rectify the problem, how to understand it. So that solution to the problem, when it is discussed, that really helps. So don't even think that it's kind of a preachy class, because sometimes we do need such kind of classes, you know. Otherwise, how we will improve, you know, because when we are attending these sessions, it's just for our improvement, for our benefit. So we need such kind of preaching classes also, because that will help us that how we can improve and remove our anarthas. I really like the class very much, and definitely made a lot of notes. And I'll try to imbibe also in my life. And
you know, I need to, Mataji. I have a long way to go. But thank you so much. It's real. I mean, of course, most of this was from Guru Maharaj's lectures. So yeah. I just added these points. Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I really like the point that how the blessings come from the chastisement of spiritual masters. So we should not take the chastisement lightly. They are blessings in turn that is coming from him. So thank you. Thank you so much, Preeti Vilasani. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasani, Agvalacha Prabhupada. Can you hear me? I don't.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? I'm on my Bluetooth. I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for a wonderful class, beautiful class. I had one question. Did you say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had embraced Ramachandra Puri first? In the beginning? I mean, did the pastime start like that? I don't remember.
No, that is, Paramananda Puri paid his obeisances to Ramachandra Puri, and Ramachandra Puri strongly embraced him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also offered his obeisances unto Ramachandra Puri and then embraced him and thus remembered Krishna.
Okay, so embraced Ramachandra Puri or Paramananda Puri?
Ramachandra Puri. So this is a direct verse from Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami.
Right. So I guess my question is, so he was embraced by Mahaprabhu, right? Mm-hmm. He committed and continues to commit such Vaishnava Parad. And so yes. I'm just contemplating just how that is, that, I mean, we can't think that we're quote unquote saved, or whatever you want to, you know, I'm using a very Christian term, you know what I mean? Because we are in the association of a pure devotee, or we have the blessings of a pure devotee, or whatever. If we don't watch our words, like there's still so much responsibility on our own part as to what we need to do. And always, as you said, be on the lookout for these faults. Because just the fact that you're initiated and you have a spiritual master is pure, it's no guarantee that you're safe. That's kind of like what surprised me.
Yes. And when he embraced Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they all immediately remembered Krishna. But however, what is there in the heart, the habit, the fault-finding tendency had to be worked on. That's why, you know, recently Jiptak Maharaj's, there was a question answer that was circulated, right, recently, about what is most important, what do you think is the most important thing that you want from your disciples in terms of devotional service? And the first thing he said is to develop Vaishnava character and behavior. So that is the most important, because this devotee was expecting some high level bhakti related stuff, but then he said first learn to be a good person.
person. That is the first basic thing. Vaishnava character is most important. Until you, because if you don't have the foundation strong, what devotion will we do? We can go around telling, okay, I did this, I did that, you know, I'm such a great devotee, I'm doing this devotional service, that devotional service. What is the use of everything if our character is shaky? I think that was the answer Jaitak Maharaj had given. That's such a valuable, such an important instruction. You need to respect your superiors. You need to, you know, so nicely here. I wish we could read it also. It's such a beautiful answer as to what is expect. Maybe if someone has it on WhatsApp, they can read it. So it's a constant corrective process. And awareness is so important. Yeah.
And one other comment I wanted to say was your first thing about if you don't have anything good to say, then hold your tongue. And I must say, out of experience, that has been very helpful to immediately not say anything. We have a tendency to, or I have a tendency of like, oh, I know the answer. I can help, you know, I can, you know, and, you know, no. Sometimes you just need to just let it be. You don't need to be, you know, the person who's standing there with the stick telling everybody what they're doing. Just keep your mouth shut.
Thank you.
Which is the most difficult also.
Thank you, Paneshwari Mataji. That's very true. It's very difficult also. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hari Bol, Vrinda.
Very nice class, Mataji. Beautiful class, beautiful stories. I also was a little bewildered about Ramchandra Puri. Like, you said that he is a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So how he was preaching him about Mayavad, sir? Like, how?
It's meaning, see, it is a disciple, but still it is easy to get contaminated with Mayavad ideas, right? I mean, see, all of us, to some extent, we do have, not all of us, but then even in spite of, you know, this little bit of impersonalism creeps into everybody. Depending on the association you take, whom you are associating with, whom you're spending your time with, impersonalism creeps in. So that's how I've understood that this Ramchandra Puri, he did have this tendency of... he was influenced by the dry Mayavadis. Therefore, he criticized Madhavendra Puri. This is what is written. So he did take the association of some dry Mayavadis, and the Mayavad philosophy is very influencing. So a little bit time you spend with that philosophy, you'll get easily influenced by that philosophy. So this is what is there in the Anubhashya commentary. He was influenced by the Mayavadis, and therefore he developed that quality and he began to criticize even Madhavendra Puri.
Yeah, now it makes sense, because that influence should be so high that even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and even he realized Krishna, this impact was more on him, right? The Maya impact. And he started to preach Madhavendra Puri about it. Yeah, it makes sense, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji.
That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always warns us, Mayavadya Bhashya Shunile Hoy Sarvanash. Because, you know, a little bit, you think that they're speaking Krishna Katha. You hear, then slowly there'll be some Mayavad elements, and Mayavad, the way it is presented, that philosophy, it might be very convincing, logically convincing at the outside. And one may get influenced by it, and one may think, oh, I've understood something better than what I'm getting already in Krishna consciousness. This bhakti is simply a sentiment, and this seems more correct and logical. And then there is a tendency for us to go and share what we have learned and think that what we have learned outside is correct, and then we go and correct others who are in the correct path of bhakti. So that's what has pretty much happened.
Right. So that's why Prabhupada was also always very protective.
Very protective. Yeah, Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayata Desh Tarini, that is his very pranam mantra, because he's here to get us out of that thing. Because, see, even in very strong Vaishnava communities also, there is lots of elements of influence of Mayavad. Meaning, if the spiritual master is not very strong, like Prabhupada, where he's very strict, about what philosophy you hear, how you hear, because Prabhupada is so strict, his books are so vocal about it. That's why devotees and Krishna consciousness are able to hold up the, the mood of Krishna consciousness like this. If Prabhupada was very, very liberal, like most gurus of this day are, anything is okay, this is okay, that is okay. If he was very liberal, we would have been a confused talk. Because he was so particular, how you should hear philosophy, from whom you should hear, what you should hear. Because of that, so much training that has been given to us, we are able to understand things properly. Otherwise, if the guru itself is very liberal in terms of what you can hear, then we are completely lost. We won't have any philosophical foundation.
Reminds me of one story about Prabhupada. Is it okay if I share it with you?
Yeah. Go ahead, Mataji.
So there are videos on YouTube, walk with Prabhupada or something, like there is a series, and in one video, one disciple was sharing how Srila Prabhupada was talking about Mayavad consistently to his devotees about his preaching, and one was Mayavadi, I think, and he saw it continuously for some days that Prabhupada has been talking over, and he started shouting at him. He got very angry, and then Prabhupada disciples, they started to protect Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "That's okay, just leave him, that's okay." He didn't say anything. He just told him, "What to do? I have to protect my devotees." And then he continued with his other things. And then this disciple, this person, again next day he came, he saw that Prabhupada did not react anything. Next day they were all doing Guru Puja for Prabhupada in the Chopati temple, I think. And then this person came and he realized the greatness of Prabhupada, and he just went and he just fell on his feet. He didn't say anything. So it's just that Prabhupada's behavior, it changed his mind. He just said, "I have to protect my devotees, nothing else." So it shows how Prabhupada was so protective about devotees from Mayavad. Yeah, how much he talked about Mayavad and why we should be away from it. It's so influential.
Very true, Mataji. Very, very nice. Very true.
It really touched my heart. Like, Prabhupada didn't have to do anything. He just said simply and he just moved on. Thank you, Mataji, for a beautiful class.
Thank you, Vrinda, Mataji, for adding that. It was so nice to hear. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasni, Mataji, Danvat Pranam. Mataji, can you hear?
Yeah. Yes, Bindu.
Okay. Thank you so much for such a wonderful class, Mataji. Especially, I love the point where you said there might be so many things that come to your mind, but just keep it, keep your mouth shut. I shouldn't be talking or expressing everything that comes to your mind. We need a filter.
I'm going to sit in train. Can I sit in train?
Yes. Yes, and also I love the quote that you said about strong minds think.
Average mind discuss
events, and weak minds discuss people. It's a beautiful. So Mataji, I do have a question, Mataji, and I see so many questions are there in the chat, so I'll try to keep mine short. Mataji, how about, like, we are very critical, especially about our family members, right? I feel like, we will discuss amongst ourselves as sisters, okay, Amma is doing that wrong, Amma is doing this wrong, oh, that's why Amma got this pain and that pain and all that. So we are always, very critical about that. And then we'll go and we'll, scream at her or complain or do something. So how do we see that in the right light, Mataji? And are we not supposed to do that at all? Because they are also, in one sense, our guru.
Yeah, Mataji, as far as this is what I think, as far as parents are concerned, it is better not to be instructive to them. Okay, because they are definitely our worshipable superiors, and it doesn't make any sense to be instructive until it is helping them. Okay, like sometimes we may have to give certain instruction so that their health improves. So that is out of love and concern. If the intention is out of love and concern for their betterment, so that they feel good, then you can say it very strongly in an instructive way. Amma, I want you to do this, please. This is for your betterment. Then that is nice. But if we they are just finding a fault, and that is going to make them feel miserable that my child is talking like this to me, then it is better not to do it. It is better to handle it in a different way, because I think parents have a very different view of how their children should be. They always prefer to have their children more submissive, and they feel that they are the ones who give the instruction to the child, and the child takes it. So the best way for us is, one thing is if it's going to help them, of course, like if your parent is not taking medicine or something and you want to tell them that you have to do this, you're doing it out of love, and the parent understands that the intention is out of love, the intention is not out of accusing or something like that. So they understand that, and they also feel okay about it. But if we are trying to accuse, saying that, oh, because of stop doing this, that's not nice. It can be done in a different way. One thing is you can show by example. It can be done in very subtle ways. That would rather help. I mean, it depends on the exact situation. I don't know. Until I hear the exact situation, I may not be able to give the perfect answer. But it can be done by showing by example, like how you conduct yourself, and that may influence them, that will help. Or giving them some positivity, or changing the topic, if supposing the topic that is being discussed is not comfortable for you, you can change the topic or talk something positive, talk about good things. That is also good. That will also change the mood of the conversation. But to directly point out the fault of a superior is not really the right way, because it will not be, it will not be productive. It will become counterproductive. So we have to be very sensitive. That is what I personally think, Mataji.
Absolutely. That's right, Mataji. We forget sometimes that, you know, they still want to be the ones who are giving us the...
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's a correct thing, right? That's how it has been.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Bank alone. Local chat test for Bali Bani.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
The chat box. There is a chat box question, Mataji. If you can answer it, please.
Yeah. I'll see what it is. Please take my question, Mataji. Madhita. Okay. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam. I have a question of, we stop our mouth but couldn't stop the mind. Mind is saying something, an initial stage of practicing to leave this tendency. So isn't this an offense to think something wrong about someone? So Mudita Mataji, this is a natural problem of the mind. Okay, the mind has so many thoughts running. It is like that only. The mind's nature is like that. Positivity, negativity, everything will be there in the mind. So one thing that we can do the best is to train the mind to focus on something that is better, focus on something that is positive. That's why we are constantly asked to hear Krishna Katha. We are constantly asked to chant the holy names. If you're not able to chant for a long time, you can listen. Shravanam is very easy, because it just focuses. Completely takes out the focus of the mind from the negativity that we are harboring to something higher, to something positive. See, in the mundane world, they tell us that look at something that is big, look at the stars and the sky and appreciate the greatness of that. When you appreciate something really big and really high, smaller things mean nothing to you. So like that is the recommendation given. Just because our mind is thinking of so many wrong things, is it a sin? Not necessarily. Because we are in this age of Kali, that is all. You know, in the age, it is said that in Kali Yuga, not every thought is accounted for as karma. But if you speak it out or do it in action, then there is a problem. So it is natural for the mind to get contaminated like that. It happens with everybody. You have positive and negative thoughts about everybody for that matter. But then don't work on it. Don't feed it again and again. Don't work on it. Don't keep thinking about it. Take your concentration away from it and try to listen to something more constructive. And this will mean nothing to you after a point in time. So are you accounted for every thought? Not really in this age of Kali. Don't worry about it. But at least we can stop from verbalizing it or showing it in action. Okay, Mataji?
Hello?
Hare Krishna Mataji, then with Pranam.
Sita Priti Mataji, Hari Bol.
Beautiful, beautiful class, Mataji. There are so many, like, I don't know, this for this age, Srila Prabhupada has penned this down so very nicely from the scriptures, because he knows that this is the state of future of every person. So, Mataji, now in this context, see, like, I know we should not be thinking about it, as you said. So, and this is for our own betterment, right? Whatever is going on is for our own betterment. But when there are certain things which need to be really addressed, so first thing I understood, okay, not to verbalize it. But then without verbalizing it, if we try to change it and if we try to work on that, because certain things, if in an institution, in a family, or in a family or on a group as a large, if we need to do something, we need to do it, right?
Yeah.
So then,
correct us are always recommended.
Yeah, instead of hurting that person by gossiping about that person, and or in gossiping does not only mean gossiping with somebody else. Because you ourselves, like this, I so many times it happens that when there are some unavoidable situations, or when you really get hurt, this is among with family also, which I feel, mm-hmm. instead of, we cannot say them anything, so, and then you know, and you cannot even talk to your immediate family members about it, and then you start, this happens with me, I'm just sharing my own example, you start building, okay, what if he had said this, or what if she says this, then I will say this, and that, you know, that goes on. Yeah, it goes on. You're not even verbalizing it to anybody else, but your mind itself is playing. And then after a few minutes, I myself understand that, why am I wasting? And then I start chanting. Whatever I'm working, yeah, this happens with me all the time. And then I feel that, oh, why am I thinking about it? And then I just start chanting whatever work I'm doing. So this was like, you know, such a reminder again that...
Okay, when I do that a lot.
It is really so.
And then I realized I wasted so much time, so much
emotion,
so much pleasant feeling. Everything is gone. Yeah.
Everything is lost, and then you start beating yourself about it. And then again, like in my Facebook, I have an album which is only shared for myself, wherein all the lectures are put up. And then I just go because at that end, at that time, you don't find a lecture. Which, so if these are saved somewhere, you just put that up, and then you can just go with that feeling, away with that feeling. But then again, in some, you know, I don't know, like, whether it is right or wrong, as you said, it's not good to verbalize, but this is a society where we live in, right? So you always need somewhere to vent out.
That is
but then you shouldn't get
we have into that out. Habit. Yeah, so we are venting out to just release a little burden from our hearts. That is different. Yeah, I mean, that it's not like you're going and accusing or fault finding. It's not that, right? You just have a problem and you're venting out in a particular situation. That is normal. We need someone to vent out. You know, we are human beings. We cannot be like robots, you know, perfect in everything. We have to be practical. We understand that we have a mind, we have a subtle body. It has some requirements. Our mind has some demands. So we should not expect everything to be ideal, but we can have, venting out sessions so that it lightens our heart. There is absolutely no problem. As long as it's on a neutral platform. It's okay.
Yeah, and as long as you know that person is going to take you away from that thing.
Yeah, and
that instead of feeding you.
That person is not going to judge you or not going to feed more negativity into
feed
you.
More negativity. Just went. Right. Thank you, Mataji. This session was like, it is a must to listen again and again. And with the intensity with which you were saying it, it is like amazing. You are blessed soul, Mataji, that you are sharing your all your knowledge with us, and thank you so much for this service. Really, really appreciate it, Mataji. Prabhu was also listening to it, and he was just listening and listening to your class. So thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Sita Priti Mataji and Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasmi Mataji. Can you hear me, Mataji?
Yes, Vinita.
Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Very beautiful class with the beautiful stories. I have a question. The second story you were telling about the water feeding to the devotees, right? That story, did you told before in the class? Or did you told me personally one time?
I told you personally.
That's the reason when we were talking, right? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. This story, I heard it from Mataji only when she told it. Okay, nice, Mataji. That story was very beautiful. I think you have explained me to come out of my problem only, I think, on that day. Thank you so much. The other story you were explaining about the lady talking about it, not knowing the proper reason, criticize somebody or just to make her day fun. That was very nice, Mataji, where we have to, I mean, personally, I have to learn from there, you know, we should not unnecessarily waste our time on thinking about something else. Instead, we can give that time for our personal thing or like just chant one round extra. Really beautiful, beautiful class, Mataji. Very serious class for me. But Mataji, yes, as Tijuda Mataji said, we need to have this kind of classes so we can learn something. Otherwise, we cannot. And very beautiful advice, Mataji. Just keep everything into our mouth. Don't keep outside whatever you want. And you always tell me that. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Thank you, Mataji, for always advising. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Vinita Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hi, Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranams. Such a nice class and so many lessons, like all the Mataji said. I just have one question. I was distracted, you know, I was cooking and I was distracted. So what happened at the end of that story? You know, like you were saying, the king, the brahmana, and so who was to blame?
Yeah, the lady who accused the king that he mixes poison and feeds the brahmana. So Chitragupta immediately, he writes down the karma goes to that lady.
I mean, okay. I was thinking, if there was no accusation from the lady, who would have taken the blame? Like, I mean, just
it would have been a pending case till they found someone. So this itself was pending for so long till the lady spoke up and gossiped, right?
So there was actually, this is a problem of no solution. Wow. Didn't expect that, you know, on that realm. Yeah, that was an interesting story. You come up with so nice stories, Preeti.
Mataji, just...
When will you teach me? I always keep asking you.
Mataji, honestly, it's just from different lectures, Mataji. Just a search, that's all. So none of these I have found myself, yeah.
So beautiful, Preeti. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sagari Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranams, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Beautiful class, a lot of points to take away and also work on to just purify ourselves. And thank you, Mataji, for such an amazing class. I was just reminded about a lot of things, just wanted to share with you.
Yes, Mataji.
One was, so when we look at Jagannath, he has such a big eyes and he always magnifies all the good qualities that people have. And then you look at Ranganath, he's closing his eyes. He doesn't want to look at any of your bad qualities and shies away and says, you know, it's okay. You will one day realize. And I was just thinking about that. And another point that we've been hearing is be hard on yourself, but be soft on others. Mm-hmm. So that was another thing. And then, so looking at Parikshit Maharaj from Srimad Bhagavatam, so when he was put into the circumstances before all the sages and when Sukadev Goswami was sitting there and giving his lecture, he was thinking to himself that he doesn't have any qualification as a person by himself, but it is all because of the Pandava lineage I belong to. I'm having this benefit of taking the association of devotees, because this is so rare. At this point in time, at this particular moment, all of them have gathered and I have 7 days in my life. This is not something that could happen, out of nowhere. There is something where I feel that I don't have any qualification, but because I belong to the Pandavas lineage and they did something good, and that is the reason why I'm put forth in the midst of the devotees. So that was the mood of Parikshit Maharaj. He's just contemplating on that. And then, you know, I was reading this book, Disapproved But Not Disowned.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, Gauranga Darshan Prabhu, he brings this classic example of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's son-in-law. Yeah, yeah, Amogha. And in that episode also, we found that Amogha was so blunt because when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and for a minute he was inattentive, and during that time he passed on a blunt remark and said, oh, you know, this food can be eaten by 10 to 12 people, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eating it all by himself. He made this remark, and again, so Gauranga Darshan Prabhu, he brings up a point to say that, you know, the immature devotee, I mean, immature people can bluntly make such remarks. And that's where all the instructions that you brought forth comes to my mind, to say that, okay, you know, this is definitely, I mean, you can be blunt at any point in time when there is no filter, and you have to be really watchful of what you say. But again, in that episode, we can also see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. How he, I mean, when Gopinath Acharya goes and tells him, okay, this is the situation of Amogha, he's not feeling good, and all that, yeah, cholera. And so immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing the mercy, coming to him and saying, you know, chant Krishna's name and everything will become all right. And don't have this feeling of jealousy and envy in your heart. It's going to ruin you and your devotional life. And you know, again, I was just looking at Mahaprabhu's mood, how he came back and how he instructed and brought back the devotional service in Amogha also. Mataji, very, very instructive class. And thank you so much for so many realizations. I really enjoyed the class. We love to hear from you more and more. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Radhika Mataji. Thank you for always adding such beautiful, beautiful points and stories.
It enhances the understanding. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Namaguri.
Thank you so much. Very, very beautiful class. It's always and very nice points, Mataji. We should not criticize others. And also, one more point, like, Ramachandra Puri gets the punishment of getting the taste in the material things. That's the very subtle, you know, and we need to see how, you know, if we get in taste in material things, which means there is something wrong in our like criticizing or something like that. Thank you so much, Mataji. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I just have a small question over here.
Yeah.
See, like, we ourselves not criticizing is understood, okay? But then if by chance you come to know that somebody behind your back has been criticizing you, you do not have had any bad feelings about that devotee or anything, but then suddenly you come to know, again, first thing which I first understood was that when I had addressed this question to someone, they said that someone who has come and told you that somebody is criticizing about you, first of all, you should not be listening to that person. That is one point which which I understood. But then if you feel sad, right? Why, without you doing anything wrong, without you having any wrong intention for that person, why is that person criticizing you? Then what should our take be on that? Or what should our say be on that part, Mataji?
Mataji, so if someone doesn't like us, it's in one sense their problem. It's their problem. And eventually, we can continue to be very nice people, meaning like we can be ourselves. If we had not known that this person didn't like us, or if we had not known that that person was criticizing us or talking ill about us, how we would have been with that person? We would have been very normal, right? If we didn't know that scene, okay, that they had spoken something about us. we would have been very normal and we would have been loving and caring and how we are naturally. That's what we would have been. So the same thing continue to be the same, because it's the problem is with them. They need a correction. So how will they be? How will they get the correction when they see good in us, right? So when they realize that their vision of us was wrong, and actually this is the real person. When they see us, when they see the real person in us, slowly they feel bad and they do a self-correction. So we should give that time. Okay, so just because they have seen us as wrong, it doesn't mean that tomorrow I have come to know this. So therefore, I will also develop a similar hate towards you. If we start showing that, then they will confirm their feeling about us. But if we continue to be as normal as we are, the same affection, the same love, in spite of what they are thinking, it should not matter to us, because the problem is there with them. Their mind has to change. How will their mind change? Only when they see us as being nice. So continue to be nice, continue to be normal, and eventually that guilt will seep in and they'll understand that they had misjudged us all this time and they will correct themselves. So I think we should give them that space and that time to correct by continuing to be normal. But if we take it too personally and we start showing again hate, then they will just confirm, okay, this is what I thought about that person. It's confirmed now. So I hope that helps, Mataji.
Yes, you know, Mataji.
It's a very good psychology, I mean, but it definitely helps with dealing with different kinds of people. Yeah, in this world, there are so many different kinds of people and we have to deal with everybody. So this is the best way to keep everyone in good books.
Can I add something there?
Yeah, please add.
So just, I mean, sometimes I think that maybe criticism might be appropriate. In other words, sometimes we should take criticism, if we hear something from somewhere, sometimes immediately what gets hurt is our ego. We have to understand it's our ego that gets hurt. That even if what they say might be true, we're like, oh my God, how can they say that about me? So I'm thinking that I think first of all we need to just kind of say, okay, why is this coming at me? Because it might be something that Krishna is sending. It might be something. I mean, you know, devotees, although I'm not there yet, but we're supposed to see everything that comes our way as the mercy of Krishna. So I think the first thing always is, as you said rightly, you know, treat that person the right way. But I think also self-analysis is also good. Like, what can I get from this? What can I learn from this? Why is this coming to me? And if you see that it's not true or it's unnecessary, then you can just, like you said, let it go. And understand that maybe Krishna's trying to make me stronger, you know, make me learn to be stronger, control myself, whatever. And if it is true, then we try to change. So I think we should always be ready for self-correction. I guess that's my thing. Just to, you know, self-enough.
That was so important. Yeah, it is important. Thank you so much. Yeah, self-correction is so important. If it's true, it's better to use that as an opportunity, as Krishna's blessing. You know, somehow he's let us know it today. So let me correct myself now itself before I have a greater fall down. Yeah, definitely.
Hare Krishna, Prithvi Vilasini Gopi, Ananta Koti, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Shishi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Mataji, today's class, like Sita Priti Mataji and all Vaishnava Expert, Radhika Mataji and all Vaishnava Expert Vrinda's mother, Vrinda. Mataji, we learn from each and every sentence. So, childhood, we learned that every person has a 60% good quality and 40% bad quality. But when a day we start to see that 40% bad quality from other person, that day, that person also start that our negativity, our anartha. So, Radhanath Maharaj or Jaipataka Maharaj or Chandramouli Maharaj, they all are coming in Gopinath. So we learn only one lesson. We should forgive the Vaishnava. If Vaishnava gives such a nice slap, then only stay in the lotus feet of Vaishnava only, not to go outside. So there is only misunderstanding between two devotees. Nothing is there. So we should just take a drink of lotus feet of Vaishnava.
the Radhika Mataji and all Mataji's realization touch to heart, Mataji. You put lots of efforts. I learned a lesson that we don't know how much time in this material world after 50. I'm talking about myself. And when, you know, before 2 years, it's a heart disease. So that we should totally, first we have to get up early in the morning and complete japa 6:30 or 6:47. Mataji, we remind whatever we hear or whatever we, senior Vaishnava, it's fit in our mind, Mataji. So our sadhana is very strong and we will serve Vaishnava whether this material body is supporting, not supporting. Yesterday I cooked lots of prasad, but cleaning time, it's take 2.5 hours. So I'm just sitting in one corner and seeing Srila Prabhupada that at the age of 70, how Srila Prabhupada is cooking for a 35, 40 Vaishnava. There is no money to buy a grocery, no money to pay a rent of that house. But still he has a complete faith in the lotus feet of Sisi Jagannath. And we have everything. Still we are complaining. I'm talking about myself, Mataji. So full faith in lotus feet of Sisi Radha Gopinath and do whatever you are expert, whatever seva is given by Srimati Radharani, puts your more and more efforts and give association to Vaishnava. I learned this from you, Radhika Mataji, Sita Priti Mataji, Shamagori, Vrinda's mothers, Vrinda Gopi, Haripal to all Vaishnava. I am so fortunate that I get such a strong Vaishnava, such a strong spiritual bomb at association of this Bhakti Sangha. Hari Hari, Gauranga, Koti Koti Dandvat Pranam to all Vaishnava, Priti Vilasin Dandvat Pranam, Jai Jai Nityananda, Jai Jai Gauranga.
Hari Bol, so nice, Mataji. You gave such beautiful realization in a few seconds. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's very true. We cannot see the world black and white. Everyone has their, you know, like you said, 60%, 40%, whatever the percent may be. Nobody is perfect. We can't expect everyone to be perfect or imperfect. Everyone is a mix of everything, including ourselves. So I think it comes down to acceptance of people for who they are. Yeah. Very nice, Mataji. Thank you so much. Love you both.
Mataji, sing whatever you like to sing for 2 seconds, Mataji. I know you are so tired, but we need your association and blessing.
What should you have any suggestion, Mataji?
Anything, Mataji. Anything for 2 seconds.
Last time, I think we did Vrindavana, right? I don't know, that song is only coming to my mind again and again. Can I go with
that? Sing that, Vrindavana Ramayasthana. That is all. Very famous, Mataji.
Vrindavana Ramyasthana Divya Chintamani Dama Ratana Mandira Mano Hara Abhrita Kalindini Re Raja Hamsa Kilikare Tahe shobe kanaka kamala Tara madhya hima pita Ashtadale mishitita Ashtadale pradana naika Tara madhya ratnasane Bashiya chedui jane Shyama sange sundari radhika Urupa lavanya rashi Amiya pariche kasi Hasya parihasa sambhashane Narotama dasa koi Nitya lila shukamoi Sadai sporo moramane Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Bol Mataji.
Jai.
Shri Ram Vrindavan Dham ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada, Shri Gurudev ki Jai. Puti Vilasini ki
Jai.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Puti Vilasini Mataji. Thank you so much for this very wonderful and instructive class, Mataji, full of so many stories and so many realizations from all the Matajis. Thank you so much for the singing also, Mataji, Vrindavana. And I have some personal question, Mataji, not regarding class. How can I start? So, waking up early morning, Mataji. It's been very challenging for me for so many days, because if it is like auspicious months like Kartik month or Purushottam month, I wake up early and do my japa, deity worship and everything. But if the regular days, I take it for granted, okay, these are like later days. Okay, let it go like that. So for so long, I'm trying to get out of this mood. Every day is auspicious and every day I should get up and do Mangalarti and every day I should chant. But only on the auspicious month, on special days, I wake up, and remaining days I will take for granted. Then how should I think in mind, this is also very special day, every day. Mm. If there is anything like hidden heart for me, then I will do the work or else I will be lazy. So how to get out of this attitude, Mataji?
Yeah, so it's normal. Everyone has the same problem. And like, until we have something to look forward to, or until we have an agenda, we will not do it, right? So that is human nature. And one way of doing it is to have a morning agenda. So you have something to look forward in the morning, like in Bhakti Sangha, for example, many people have this agenda of waking up so that they can associate with the devotees. They are seen on call and they are able to chant, or they are able to hear to the class, depending on when you want to wake up, you can decide. And I have to be present as an attendance to listen to the class. So they basically have a morning agenda. So when they have a morning agenda, they want to wake up to fulfill that agenda. So like that, if you have a spiritual agenda in the morning, see, if you, and it's always easier to do it as a group. Be a part of a sangha or be a part of a group, because you become accountable automatically. Whether you like it or not, you become accountable to other devotees. Your presence becomes accountable. You do it for 1 week and then the other devotees begin to expect you to be there that day morning in the call and doing your service. Or even if you don't have a service, just your attendance, your presence becomes important because they are used to seeing you. So like that, if you feel that, you want to standardize your waking up time or something, that is one way. One way is to have an agenda at that particular time and you're waking up looking forward to fulfilling that agenda. That helps. So try to have a schedule, Mataji, morning schedule, and feel accountable to something. If you don't feel accountable to someone or something, then you won't do it. So that will help initially. And then after a year or two, it becomes an automatic second nature for you. And you will keep doing it even if you don't have to be accountable to someone or something.
Yes, Mataji. Yes, yes, that's true. So, yeah, like morning, there is no person I should account to. So I'm taking this granted. Okay, let it this go. From next day, I will start. So this goes on every time. Only on special days, on special months, I'll do strictly.
Yeah, because
you of my Guru Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada.
You have taken a vow to, fulfill certain things, you will do it.
Yes, Mataji. I'll try to practice, Mataji. Yeah. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much for this wonderful class and singing also, Mataji. So with your permission and assembled devotees' permission, shall we end the class, Mataji?
Sure, Mataji.
Just a second, Mataji. I take only 2 seconds. Mataji, suddenly we cannot get up 4:30 early in the morning. For that, we have to go to 4 o'clock, take a bath, and it's take half an hour. So we have to start the switch from 3:45.
Absolutely.
And then... it is 15:15 like me. I get up 4:30, but I will sit at 5 o'clock, washroom, and take a bath. It's take half an hour. So I take 10 minutes
increase. Yeah. 10 days, like I get up by 4:30, then start to 5 o'clock I sit for japa. Then I start get up more 10 minutes early, then more. 4:45, 4:44, then 4:10, then 4 o'clock. So suddenly we cannot jump to get up early in the morning. But then my alarm is in the evening time, but I get up 4 o'clock. So there, slowly we have to train our mind. And second thing, actually Gaurang Prabhu told that our diet evening time, not to eat grains or anything. 16 hours fasting should be there. So at 4 o'clock or 4:45 evening time or 5 o'clock, we eat only soup and salad and little even chapatis, very thin one, so that our tummy also adjust with that. This is not my words, that is Brahmachari's words. So it is take time, but we feel so happy. I learned that little Vrinda's mother, forgot her name, Vinita Gandhari Mataji, his face so nicely. And she told that we have to take bath. Before that, not taking bath and sit for 4:45 for japa. But I 10 minutes get up early in the morning. And after taking bath, you don't feel a sleep, because you take a bath, offer fruits and waters and Mangala Aarti, then you become more fresh. Please forgive me for taking 2 seconds. Hari Bol Dhanbhar.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Mataji, now I got your secret. How you I see every day you are there. Oh, Vrinda Gopika Mataji came already. Wow. Every day I see you are coming earlier and earlier. That's a good idea, Mataji. Thank you for sharing. Yeah,
actually, our Bhakti Sangha call is a good idea, Mataji. We can inspire between one another. You know, before when Radharani Mataji, before she was not joining, nobody used to come, like, you know, Shambhari Mataji sometimes come, but I was most of the time, the first person. After Radharani Mataji started joining and some other, Radhika Mataji, I think, Radha Mataji, these people joined earlier than me. I was like, I have to be competition with them. Na? I have to come early. I tried to do, now I cannot do, Mataji. People are chatting 3:30 only. But usually what Mataji is saying is Sangha helps us to fight with our problems. If you are alone, we cannot achieve anything. If you have a group of the people, easily you can avoid all the problems that is getting. Okay, you have group of the people, you have to show your attendance. Sometimes even though you're not chanting, that's not a problem. Come on the call, sit on your phone, and that, you know, consistency makes your habit. You know, you'll do it. Sometimes 40 minutes is gone, mine. You know, slowly I will go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's okay, late 45 minutes gone, but you are there. Krishna will see your desire. And you will chant. That is my thing. What Mataji said is, I really agree. Only because of Bhakti Sangha Japa group, every day I'm able to get up 3:45 sharply. Whatever it is happening, even if I'm sleeping at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, doesn't matter. 3:45, get up, that's it. So this is only because of Sangha. As Mataji said, just be with this Sangha and get up in the morning, chant in the morning. Hare Krishna Mataji, very beautiful Mataji.
So we are getting it from the expert. Thank you. Thank you, Vinita Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Very nice nectar. Thank you.
Thank you, Komodaki Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Once again, Mataji, thanks to all the Mataji for helping me to come out of my personal problem. I'll try to be on the call from tomorrow onwards. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mataji. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha krupa sindhu vyaye vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah ananta koti vaishnavrindi ki jai ramacharya shila haridas thakur ki jai shila prabhupad ki jai chaitanya charitamrita ki jai
hari
vilasini mata ji ki jai. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Koti koti dhanyavad pranam.
Hare Krishna. Ending the call, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.